And this is 209.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Hello and welcome to WTF at TFW, episode number 209. I am Seth Buzzard, joined by Gog Dog.
Hi, Seth.
And nobody else. Because Vangelis ditched out on us, went to Portland. I tried to ask him if he went to Portlandia, Portland, or original Portland. He never replied. Do you know what state he went to?
I don't know anything about what he's doing. I just know that he told us, he's like, sorry guys, I have plans on Thursday night. I'm like, oh, okay. Last time his reason was something along the lines of where I'm at, I just don't have sufficient internet connection to be able to Skype in. There's no way it'll work. I won't be able to get you my files, something along that lines. This is just, I have plans. So,
well, I was looking on Twitter a little while ago, and apparently his plan is to live stream a V-Build.
Mm.
So he has enough bandwidth to live stream.
You see what women do to men? They make them lesser beings. They cloud their judgment. Not something I'm used to in certain individuals, but it even the best of the greatest of men shall fall at the might of certain influences, but that's beside the point.
So anyway, this episode might be a little shorter than they have been recently, but do you really need another 4 hours of your life drained away? And TFCon is right around the corner, man. You're going to Canada.
Yep. I'm actually getting ready now. I'm taking a break from packing to record this. We're going to knock this out. Not a lot of news, obviously. We're kind of in the post-SDCC drought. So we found a couple things we want to talk about, but it's mostly just going to consist of a huge what we got this week from both of us. So,
yeah, Vangelis has all the listener questions, and we're not really set up for voicemails. So, yeah, we're just going to keep it to the point. And I don't know. There's no way. Well, who knows? Maybe this gets out before, but if you're going to be at TFCon, as was discussed in the prep episode that went up recently, live podcast going to happen as a panel. And I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, no, I wish you were going
to
be.
I know. I kind of have been wanting to go to TFCon for a while. Now I wish I was going because I want the public to adore me in person.
But I'm sure you'll find them adoring us on YouTube at some point.
I don't care about your adoration.
You can like it. You can favorite it. You can post it on Twitter.
Okay. Anyway, let's get into some garbage. So, last week's show, those even number guys, they were talking about the Creon blind packs. I am a sucker for blind pack stuff. I don't know if you know this. I'm surrounded by blind packed materials right now, all these little Lego minifigs. And as soon as Creo started, like, the big cry from, like, all of us was, just give us the minifigs. Save those goofy-looking block sets. And so we're finally doing that. So they were discussing that because it was announced at Comic-Con. Right after it was announced, web stores started taking pre-orders on this stuff. So I pre-ordered a whole case. So I'm psyched. But they're apparently popping up at retail. And one of the things those dudes were talking about last week, I'm sure you heard, Gog Dog, because I know you listen, is that they were pondering if there was going to be some way to tell what's in the package, like what happened with the Lego minifigs, the first wave or so. The UPC numbers gave away what was inside, and then now they have the bump codes, which aren't quite as reliable. I've tried using bump codes. I find them more as a way to, like, weed out stuff, but you still kind of got to through the bag feel to be sure you're getting what you're looking for. And apparently, you know, Hasbro has made the mistake that everybody else seems to make, and they put a little product code, a little number on the bottom of the bag. Looks like a 6-digit number, and the last digit in that number reveals what's inside. Have you seen the number key?
Yeah, and it makes me wonder. I mean, obviously Hasbro is not stupid. They know that they know what they did. They companies like this tend to pay attention to what other companies do. So it makes me wonder if they just don't care. If and maybe they purposely did that so people will go out and search for Creo harder or something. Like, I don't know. I'm not really into the. I mean, I don't understand the aspect of whether doing that or not would actually improve sales or not. But the fact that they're doing that, maybe they're betting on it'll get the hardcore collectors to go look and try to find the cases when they're out new, because the people who do that sort of thing are having to check pretty often because they want to catch the cases when they're put out for the first day so they can get the first pickings. So maybe they kind of want to do that, and then they're hoping that the more casual people that don't see that stuff on the web would, you know, just buy whatever's left. I don't know. Like, it makes me wonder if making the blind packs actually blind, like, whether it, in what way would that affect sales in a realistic way? And I honestly have no idea, but I could see how doing that may have pros and cons, but I'm not one of the guys that goes out and gets the Lego minifig, so I have to admit there is probably a certain degree of ignorance there on my part.
Well, I'm down with the minifigs, and the bump codes are not really reliable. They're kind of hard to see, and apparently in a lot of cases, an individual figure could have multiple codes, and then that's determined by what case it is. So, like, once you establish that, okay, this fig has this of two or three possible bump codes, then I know all the other ones are of this same category of bump code because cases match, or everything in a case will match, but not every case will match each other, sort of a deal. Like, there'll be two to three different bump codes for just about every figure, if not more. This is a much less... And this is probably even easier to decipher than the UPC, because now you're only really dealing with one digit. You're only looking at the final digit. And, you know, just in case anybody has seen this and are now ripping their hair out going, just tell us what it is. So apparently it's like a 6-digit. It's stamped on the very bottom edge of the bag where it's sealed. Spinister is 7, Galvatron is 8, Sunstorm is 9, Crankstar is 10, Scorponok is 11, and Waspinator is 12. Or Crankstar is 0, Scorponok is 1, and Waspinator is 2, if only the last digit is relevant. But the way it was written up here, it was 10, 11, and 12. There's less figures than a wave of Lego minifigs that will have, like, I think 12. This is only 6. I think there might be a chase figure. I'm not sure. But depending on how they're packaged, because I mean, in this write up here, we see some of the bags, but clearly the figures have been taken out, so they're completely flat. So I don't really know what else is in there to try to, like, hide just feeling for the parts. But I mean, all 6 of these figures have some pretty radically different pieces in there, so I would think it would be pretty easy to figure out which one is Sunstorm by touch, just because he's the only one with those wings, and Spinister's the only one with rotor blades.
Yeah.
And, like, they all have something very, very unique that should be super easy to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that by not having something like this that gives it away, that makes it a little bit harder to get anything specific. that would help sales when people end up with doubles. Because now they go, oh, crap, I didn't get Galvatron. I have to keep trying for Galvatron now.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, how much of the market is those people compared to just parents getting the cheap toy for the kids? Because these things should only be like $2 or $3.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know. Like I said, I just my initial kind of thoughts on it, or I can see pros and cons to either way. But like in the end, because like the only time I've ever gone after a Lego minifig was I remember seeing them. I think it was at a Walmart, maybe last year. They had that series where they had the dude that looked like he was in a radioactive suit. Like he had like the radiation symbol on him and like a helmet and stuff. And I was like, oh, dude, that dude's kind of cool. Like nothing else in that wave interested me at all. But I was like, that dude is cool. So I kind of felt one. And I'm like, okay, I could, you know, I'm looking at the pictures and I'm kind of feeling it up. And I'm like, I could see how this one feels like it. And felt another one. I'm like, no, don't really feel anything there. And so like the next one, it was like, yeah, okay. Like this one might be it too. It feels a little different. I think I ended up buying three that all felt like they might have could have been one, and took them out to the car, opened them up. It was like two of the same that wasn't it, and then a third one that still wasn't it. So I'm like, F this, I don't care. And that was the last time I ever tried doing that. And maybe that was just a horrible figure to try to do that with. But with me, honestly, I'd much rather just find the characters that I like and buy them. The thing, though, with Transformers is I'm more apt to want to get more of them. Because like with the Lego minifigs, they're not characters that I care about. It's just like, here's a random dude in a funny getup. And like, okay, that one might interest me. But then there's like a ballerina. And like, I don't care about that. And then there's another dude that it's like, well, if I was to get him, I'd be kind of satisfied. But the majority of them I don't care about. It's a little different with Transformers for me, because the vast majority of these I could see myself wanting to keep and saying like, okay, that dude's cool. Like, you know, I'd like the Galvatron. I'd like the Sunstorm. Spinister's kind of cool. Scorponok, yeah. Waspinator, he's kind of ridiculous, but you know, I like the character. The Creon's kind of silly, but I'd keep it if I got it. So, I think actually making these individual characters versus just random people in funny costumes is makes it something that I'm more interested in. And so I don't know if there's going to be any real crossover from the Lego market. There very, very well may be, but I'm just so detached from that I'm not sure. And most of the Lego people that I know are already Transformers people. So it doesn't matter, because they're going to be getting them anyway. So I don't know.
Yeah. I'm also thinking that these codes could possibly also be like an in-factory inventory management sort of a thing, that it's not there for us. It's a necessity of how the factory operates, and now they're going to have to figure out something that's harder to decipher, like the bump codes.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if this wasn't a purposeful thing, because, I mean, I can't imagine that somebody overlooked this. This is, they had, when they're doing blind packed minifigs, somebody had to have done some research and known that this is something that other companies have dealt with in several different ways. And for Hasbro to just stamp them on the front, that seems to me like that was a purposeful decision. Like they intended it to do that way. So maybe they're doing that on purpose just to see how it works. I don't know.
Well, and it could have been a deal where like, we have to do something for inventory control. We know that people are going to figure it out. There's nothing we could do about that, so who cares? We'll just count on getting little Billy's parents to not know or give a crap when they just buy like three of them, because three of those are cheaper than one of anything else, sort of a thing. But either way, I'm still looking forward to them getting in my hands. Because I just like opening blind stuff and going, oh, what's in here? Something awesome. Or, oh, what's in here? Ah, crap, I have three of those already. Damn it. I like the gamble. The gambling aspect. It's fun. It's fun. But if you don't have anything else to say about that, why don't you kick us into our next little deal?
We got in-package shots as well as some pre-orders pop up for a new Generation 1 six-shot reissue. He looks to be pretty much the... not much changed from the original six-shot, with the exception of he comes with chromed weapons. The other big difference is he comes in some really stinking fancy, like, book box style, or, well, like, opening display window style packaging, and I think it looks really cool. The thing that's not too cool about this is the final price. It's like $150. And I remember when this came out, I think people were... I'm trying to remember the details because it's been a while. But this had come up before, sometime last year. I think last summer, maybe. Just right about a year ago. And I think the prevailing wisdom at the time was that this was going to run about $100. And there was a bit of contention in the fandom as far as whether it was justified, because a lot of people were saying, well, why would I pay $100 for a reissue when I could get an original vintage for $100? People like me were saying, I would much rather buy a brand new minty fresh in the package Transformer for $100 than an old played with Transformer for $100. And that's just a different mindset. Yeah, you have
peeling stickers and right. Yellow plastic.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, and that just shows different mindsets there when it comes to Generation 1 stuff. I'd much rather have something mint that I can open up like it's a brand new toy. I like Generation 1, but I don't like having old beat up played with Generation 1. I like it to be minty fresh.
Oh, yeah.
And
no, I love all my old book box reissues.
Yeah. But a lot of
people, because they are brand-ass new.
Right, but a lot of people, they like G1. They want their G1 to be vintage. Like, they don't...
Yeah,
like,
and that's cool.
And that's cool, but with me... And that's the thing, like, with a Schick shot, I could never have a minty fresh in-package, I get to bust it open six shot without paying out the ass. So that $100 price point to me was... That was more than satisfactory, because it's like, well, if I could buy one old or new for the same price, then I'll just take the new one. So the fact that this prices seem to have gone up, I guess it remains to be seen if we're going to get this from any other retailers where it won't be as expensive. But I was really interested in this, and then now I'm kind of not sure how I stand on this, because I've never owned a six shot. I've always wanted one. I've never gone and bought one since the news came out that we were going to get a reissue, which I think the first news originally came out, like, it was like 2 or 3 years ago.
I had assumed it must have happened already.
No, there was a huge list. I think this happened about 3 years ago. Huge list of a bunch of different figures that were going to get reissued. And pretty much everything on that list since then happened. Six Shot might have been the one exception. I think there's like Hybrid Style Galaxy Convoy didn't get a reissue, but I can't remember. But there was a bunch of stuff on that list, and this is one of the final, if not the final thing, to actually finally be realized. So that list was legit, but the price kind of bums me out. But hopefully I'll be able to pick this up at a cheaper price point, because I want it. I think that the packaging looks great. I think the chromed weapons are cool, and I want a minty fresh six shot. I just don't think I want a $150 minty fresh six shot, because you can get a decent vintage one for between $80 and $100, and I don't know if I want to pay an extra $50.
And this could possibly drive the price down, because there's going to be people who do want the minty fresh out of the box. Super clean, brand new sticker one, and not the old one. So that might bring demand down on vintage ones, but I mean, time will tell on that. But so is this being released directly by eHobby? Because the story title is Asia exclusive, and you know, we have all those Transformer Age of figures coming out recently. But then the link is eHobby Base Shop.
I don't think it's being done by eHobby. The last I had heard was it was going to be released by Takara, but I'm honestly not sure if this is intended for a specific market. Because usually when they say Asia exclusive, that usually means it's coming out in like Hong Kong or something there, but it's still being like, for instance, Takara Masterpiece Rodimus. He came out in Japan, but there was an Asian exclusive version that came with the collector's coin. And that was still issued by Takara, because that was the Takara version of the Masterpiece long before the US one, I think, had even been confirmed. But they, for a specific market, they put like extra accessories in there. So I'm pretty sure this is still coming from Takara, but it may just be like being released in like the Hong Kong area and some of the other Asian countries outside of Japan.
Well, like with that Year of the Dragon Optimus Prime getting sold on Amazon, I mean, there's a chance that this could possibly end up on Amazon. But, I mean, that's going to be one of those things we have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So there may be an opportunity, but who knows? Yep. Maybe there'll be $150 there, too.
Yeah. I think...
But there'll be 150 American bucks.
Yeah.
Them Japanese bucks.
I think I'm going to take a step back and see how things go with this before I make any decision. But I'm definitely not going to be pre-ordering it, that's for sure. Not at that price. But
what if you find?
Did you have anything?
What if you find a decent looking vintage one while at TFCon for 100 Canadian bucks?
No, I don't want to.
What if
I don't want to devalue G1 figures in Canadian dollars?
What if it's 50 toonies?
$50, sure. You can still, if you're patient,
specifically toonies.
If you're patient, you can. From what I've been reading, people, because a bunch of people have been comparing six shot prices since this story came out, and I've seen a few people that say that if they were patient and they got a decent G1 six shot for around $60, and so like this may just have forced me to look into maybe trying to get a good deal on a vintage one. So.
Toonie is their $2 coin.
Okay.
So when I was saying 50 toonies, I was still saying 100.
I get it. See, I'm not educated in the ways of Canadian money yet. You're going to have to catch me a week from now when I've had that stuff in my pocket for a while, and then I can speak this language.
Yeah. I haven't been to Canada since like 86, so I know. Why don't you know? Because you're a typical American that doesn't know anything about the foreign lands.
That's fine. I'm happy that way. But that's enough about Six Shot.
Yeah, it is.
Did you have something you wanted to talk about, Seth?
Yeah. I want to bring up another thing that they talked about on the last show. So Evangelist was bragging about his Cyclops figure and the little submarine guy he comes with. He talked about how Mastermind Creations is likely doing a standalone release of the mini sub without the big giant Cyclops. And if I remember correctly, I think he guessed a price tag of $20. I think he said $20. Well, Mastermind announced it officially. They are releasing the mini sub on its own, with a new head, as Vangelis said, and a different color scheme, but two different color schemes, a blue and a black one, and scheduled for a Q4 release this year, so like a November, December-y kind of time frame, and they're pricing it at $25. Now, I think Vangelis said he was guessing 20, maybe he said 25, in which case he was right on the nose, but even if he only said 20, that's still pretty close. So, good guess, Vangelis. Have fun in Portland. Yeah, so, I mean, these guys look all right. I mean, that little mini sub was pretty cool and made me kind of think maybe I should have gotten Cyclops after all instead of wussing out. But
not too late. I'm still not decided myself. I mean, I've planned on getting it from the beginning, but I've heard some widely varying opinions on it, and so I think I'm just going to wait until I head up there in a few days, which by the time you'll hear this, I'll have already been up there, but I want to mess with Vangelis's and get it's an opportunity I don't have very often, which is to get a hands-on with like a third-party product and mess with somebody else's before I actually get to decide. But if I want it to be good, but I think I'll wait and break his before I decide if I'm gonna pay the 160 or whatever.
Yeah. Well, really, the only other thing I have to say about these little guys is from the videos I've seen, including Vangelis's and better ones from people that are better than him, because that's what he does to me, is link to better videos. So, Piaz video, that's who. Because of his video, the little mini sub looks awesome. But I don't know if I would want it not with the Shockwave head. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But it's cool that option is going to be out there for people who do want to experience the mini sub but can't afford the whole huge Cyclops. It's a nice option that's going to be out there.
And for everything that I've heard, that little mini sub guy has been pretty much adored across the board. I think I've read a couple people that weren't too excited on it, but the vast majority of people seem to really dig that little dude. And several people that I've talked to have had a harder time putting down the little guy than they have messing with Cyclops himself. So yeah, I think I can imagine
the little guy is a lot less daunting, so you're more likely to pick it up than Cyclops.
Yeah. But
so you want to take us to another deal, or do you want to dunk this in a tub of water?
Oh man. I have one more thing that I wanted to talk about in this. This is basically like, I guess, a giant expanded new pick picks, but because that's really about all we've got. But let's see. I wanted to talk about something that I don't think we talked about it. The other guys might have. I remember that I saw it and talked about it on Twitter for a little while, but that was, let me find my tab here, the Dr. Wu. On the front page, they're calling it the Dr. Wu Roundup, which I think is funny, because we get like BotCon Roundups, we get Toy Fair Roundups, we get SDCC Roundups, and the fact that there's a Dr. Wu Roundup is kind of cracking me up a little bit. But
they should have called it the Dr. Wu Woundup.
Aww. That's pretty clever, actually. Why aren't you on news staff? You should be on news staff.
Because I'm way too lazy for that.
But
being on news staff requires way too much effort, and I'm not interested.
Yeah. So the thing, okay, the main thing about this roundup actually includes the new Transformers Prime Optimus head, which is the face maskless version. Which I think we actually got. We've gotten like an official Hasbro head on, because like one of the SDCC things that was revealed was there's going to be like this, I think it was a BBTS like shared exclusive or something for like Dark Energon or something. And there's like a Dark Prime or Nemesis Prime or something being released, but it has a face maskless head that I saw. I briefly saw it, but I guess this says it's supposed to go with first edition Prime, but the Prime being shown in the pictures is that first edition? No, that's the PRID version. So I'm not sure, but it says first edition, but the pictures is of a different one. But anyway, so there's that. They also show a new diecast weapon for Classics Prime, but it's G1 styled, so it could probably go with any Optimus Prime figure that has a 5mm hand port. But it's like a diecast G1 cannon. But the thing that interested me the most was the Transformers Prime sword. which is it's the a replica of the sword that the original 13 member Prima uses, who is supposed to be like the first Prime. It's that sword that we saw in concept art of the original 13 back at BotCon a couple years ago, which has since been made public. But it's this fancy Star Saber sword with the Matrix in its hilt. But the thing that had gotten me interested in this is that it was going to be chromed. And I believe that it was either somebody that worked at Dr. Wu or somebody very familiar with them had said that this was going to definitely cost less than $10, probably around $5. So I don't think that they've officially announced prices yet, but like I think these accessories are kind of cool. I actually haven't priced any of the ones that have come out previously, but the stuff they're doing is neat, and if they're serious about keeping the prices down where you can get this cool little chromed sword, which I can't remember if this had diecast in it or not, but like even if it didn't, having like this little chrome sword that you can get for $5, I think it's neat.
Yeah. A third-party item at $5 is almost unheard of. I can't imagine that it would have diecast in it and still be $10, let alone $5. And even if it was $10, that's still pretty good. Like, a lot of third-party stuff gets pricey. Of these three things, personally, I think the sword is the coolest looking. You said the gun is diecast.
That's what it said. I don't follow the Dr. Wu stuff that much. Like, I look at it when it pops up, and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of neat. But the sword itself was just kind of interesting to me because, like, the concept design and everything of it, of when they had announced it and said that it would be chromed, I was like, oh, like, especially for the price that was stated. Like, I thought that was neat. So,
well, it concerns me, the idea of the gun being die-cast, just because that's going to be really heavy.
Yeah, but if that's made for Classics Prime, at least in my experience, the joints on him have been more than able to hold the weight of something like that, I think. But that might vary on sample to sample.
Yeah, I would just worry that the weight, even if the elbow could support holding it in a cool pose, I just wonder how hard it would be then to balance the figure, because now you've got this big heavy metal thing. But I mean, in these pictures, he seems to be standing all right.
Yeah, we'll see. I look forward to hearing people's opinions on it, because the cool thing about the gun is that because it's based on the G1 Prime's gun, like it doesn't have to even go with Classics Prime. Like, you could use that with pretty much anybody. So we'll see. We'll see what people think of it when they get it. But
yeah, and I'm less impressed with the new head. It looks the eyes look a little off. Like, they don't look quite symmetrical when I don't know.
Yeah,
and if there's going to be an official maskless head, then it really becomes unnecessary.
Yeah, the only problem with the official unmaskless head, like I said, is I should probably know this, but I didn't think about it until just now. But you know what? I'm going to look it up, because I can't remember which body is the one that's on the one that's on BBTS.
Yeah, well, even if it's a different color scheme, then the mold exists, and there's, you know, probably a pretty good chance that it'll get released in Optimus Prime colors sooner or later.
Yeah. But whatever. I'll figure it out in the meantime, but.
Okay, well, if that is that, let's take a break. Hidden intermission.
Yeah.
And we are back. I hope you enjoyed whatever that was. I know I sure did. But while that was happening, GogDog did a little more digging and searching, and he found the thing he was looking for.
Yeah, I was actually right, surprisingly. I was starting to question if I had even seen what I had seen. But it's the BBTS Dark Energon, and it's going to be Powerizer Prime, and he comes with the head that has no face mask. And it looks like a pretty good head, but I don't know if that's going to do you any good if you're a fan of the first edition, because I never bought the Powerizer version because I think the first edition is better and I like it and I don't have any reason to get it. So that might be the niche that the Dr. Wu head fills and is able to remain relevant. So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. But see what the final... I hope that head is not the final product, because I agree with you. I think it looks so close, but yet just so far to make it. Because if it had been just a little better, I might have popped in an order with that with the sword and said screw it. Because I think Prime is a little more iconic without his face mask. But so
yeah,
but,
well, one thing that the Dr. Wu one I think I was going on is it looks a little friendlier. I mean, this official one looks awfully stern, and despite having the Blu-rays, I still haven't watched the rest of Prime.
I was about to ask you about that.
So, you know, maybe that's what he's supposed to look like. I don't know, but this Bumblebee looks awful, so whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. But
so once this is a truncated episode, let's talk about what we got this week. How do you feel about that?
Let's do it.
All right. You want to go first?
I can.
Too bad!
Oh! No. No, go
totally
ahead.
Burned you.
I probably got more. I don't know. We both got a lot.
Well, I guess we'll find out. All right. Well, I know there's one thing we overlapped on, so I'll work that to the end.
Okay.
And then we could overlap on that, and then you could just take over. So, let's talk about Comic-Con, man. Thanks to cosplay extraordinaire Mirai Baby from Twitter. That's her Twitter name on Twitter. Not a real name. That'd be crazy. She was at Comic-Con. She got so many exclusives for so many people. It really was a Herculean effort. She's a total lady bro.
Yeah, I saw her tweet
that
about that.
That sounds so dumb to say.
I saw her tweet said, like, after all the expenses were done, after shipping everything out and all the stuff she bought, it was like $2,500 and just in SDCC exclusives? That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, she tweeted a picture of the receipt when she shipped everything, because she sent everything out at the same time. The receipt was, like, taller than her, and the total was just over $500 in shipping fees.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these boxes are big, too. I'm going to tell you what. Hasbro likes big-ass boxes for their SDCC stuff. But I think she got at least five, maybe six Bruticus sets. Because it had been posted around, like, the little forum you checked off what you wanted from the Hasbro line. They had pictures of everything and it said what the limits were. And I believe it was a limit of three on Bruticus. And I know she got the max on one day and then went back and said she was getting two more sets for anybody that wanted to pipe up and request one. And there was a set for herself. So she must have bought six. Keeping one and setting out the others. But I know she got everything from the Hasbro booth for somebody, like the Joe stuff, the Marvel stuff, the Derpy Pony, all that nonsense. So she was cool enough to get me a Bruticus and the G.I. Joe Transformer crossover set. I'm going to talk about that Joe crossover set because it still says Transformers on the box.
No, it's on topic for sure.
Yeah, I know. I'm just telling you. I'm not asking. Telling.
It's less telling, more trying to justify it to yourself, it sounds like.
No. I don't need to justify to myself. I'm fully confident. I'm 99% concrete confident in myself. Anyway, so unfortunately, these things came yesterday. And UPS tends to come through my neighborhood pretty late. So I have not had time to open up or completely open up and experience Bruticus. At BotCon, we saw the whole deal on the process that they went through coming up with the box design. And it does look really cool. So it's this big outer box with a plastic handle. You flip it open. There's a huge image on the inside of Combined Bruticus. And then smaller images of all five robots in both robot and vehicle mode. And a little description of what a badass he is. And then there's, like, remember the box that the Walmart exclusive Masterpiece Starscream came in?
Yeah. It was similar to the Seacons, too.
Right. This is a similar type of box inside. So it's that kind of shape. And he's all up in there in Bruticus mode. Just by looking at it in the box, I really like the colors. Of the four versions that are going to be available in the near future, this is the only one I need. I'm done. I'm not going to get any of the others. I say that now. Who knows what the future will hold? But my plan is not to get any of the others. I like these colors. But just looking at it through this big, huge, clear plastic front, I can see a lot of hollowness that I wasn't necessarily thinking or anticipating there being. I'm less surprised about it after having experienced the other Fall of Cybertron toys, which we'll get to later. It's a little more like, yeah, okay, I guess that's what's going to happen. Some folks I've been seeing have been saying that they feel like the limbs aren't held on very tight, or they could be kind of floppy, loose, that it's hard to pose in any way besides just standing there. Seeing tweets from Mirai Baby herself, she did get Bruticus into a couple different poses. But it sounds like there's probably some limitations to this, what this thing is actually capable of being and doing. But at the very least, it's going to be a big, impressive piece sitting on a shelf. As I said, I haven't gotten out of the box. I can't really get into details about what I think of it as toys, but at the very least, I think it looks pretty badass, and even if it's kind of lacking in some ways, I don't think I'm going to be regretting the purchase, let's say. And if it pans out to not be as that great, then, you know, saving for one of the more available, like the retail version, where it's going to be a little cheaper, may end up being the way to go instead of trying to hunt down the Comic-Con version.
Yeah, I got lucky with mine because I got in on that. Well, I don't know if lucky, because I think more are going to pop up. But we originally thought that the G2 version was going to be an Amazon exclusive, and then they said it was going to be a shared exclusive with BBTS, and I don't even think BBTS has put up their pre-orders yet. So, but I think that the SDCC version color scheme looks great. It's better than the retail version. I don't hate the retail version, but having one that matches the game, I think, would have been something I preferred. But in the end, them going in the opposite direction and just making it ridiculous in G2 and like neon camouflage. But the price for the G2 version on Amazon was what sold me, because it's $60 and free shipping. Especially with me, I got a Prime membership, so I get 2-day free shipping. And that's cheaper than those bots are going to be at retail. So if I remember correctly, well, assuming that they're $12 each, which they're not going to be. Like, I think even Walmart is like $12.95. Then you got to pay sales tax. So, yeah. So you're getting a whole set of these from Amazon for less than retail and free shipping. Like, to me, it's like I kind of wanted the SDCC version, but having this at almost half the price is, that's, in the end, I kind of just want the molds anyway. And I think even the G2 versions look, that's more desirable to me than the retail version. And I wasn't really willing to go through the headache of trying to snag an SDCC version. So this was like the perfect compromise for me. So the worst case scenario is if I don't like it, I'll just give it to somebody at cost and make my money back.
Yeah. Like my way of thinking is, this is Bruticus from the game. That's what this design is. I would prefer to have it look as much like the game as possible, which are the Comic-Con colors.
Yep.
If I wasn't able to get this easily via Mirai Baby, and I wasn't able to grab it off a Hasbro toy shop, then I wasn't going to worry about it. I would have gone with one of the other versions and been okay with it. With the G2 shared exclusive color scheme, what I like about that is it looks nuts, and it's a reference to something. It's not just, oh, we did dumb colors. Well, no, they're dumb colors from the past. So that's cool. But I have this version. I don't need another version. The retail, just the plain old, you're going to find it in stores, retail version, I don't have much interest in, because those colors aren't really relevant to anything. They're just these other colors. So it's like, forget it. Who needs it? And then now, I don't know about the fourth version with all the different heads. And what is that supposed to be? Computron or something? What was the deal with that one?
Oh, what, the retools with the new heads and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Wreckers, and they're going to form Ruination. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, there's some, maybe I'll go in on those guys. But that's if, when I get this thing opened up and I've had a chance to experience it, if I'm digging it as more than just like a display piece, or like, hey, I got to support this combiner thing that they haven't really been doing recently. Like, if I actually think all the toys are cool and that combined Bruticus is cool, then maybe I'll go in for the Wrecker one. But I got to wait and see until I actually get this thing opened. So I probably should stop talking about that, because I can't really comment too much more on it. But, you know, that box is pretty cool. Then with the Shockwave, his tank, G.I. Joe crossover, another cool box. The box looks reminiscent of the old Hasbro comic covers. Like, even with the little character box in the corner. Obviously, it doesn't have the Marvel insignias on it, but it's that sort of 80s art style, 80s level of coloring. The back of the box has a big picture of the Hiss tank pointing out, like, cockpit, spinning cannons, all that stuff. And behind that image are, like, comic panels, kind of done in an older art style. And you could kind of glean suggestions of the story that might have been involved with this. It's not based on anything that actually happened in a comic, because this Hiss tank design didn't exist in the 80s. I've partially opened this. I haven't had time to put the tank together. But I have looked at the parts. The Shockwave turret is a cool touch. The purple is great. The huge purple and white Decepticon logos tamped on the thing just look crisp and fantastic. I think it's really cool that the turret barrel is based on Shockwave. It would have been nice if they went a little bit farther with the barrel and had like that translucent plastic, purple plastic, sort of interior that Shockwave, the original Shockwave's barrel had. But, you know, that's a small detail. It's fine without, but it just would have been a awesome extra level to it. What's really, really kind of cool with this, in my opinion, the thing that I wanted it for way more than the his tank, because I like the classic his tank design better than this modern one, but it's all the other stuff that this comes with. The purple clad Destro with a big, huge Decepticon emblem on his chest. Looks awesome. He's got the chromed head. He's got these really dark green eyes. At first, I didn't think his eyes were painted at all. I thought they were just these black holes. But looking at it closer, they're really dark green, but they're in there. You get your lime green Devastator inspired bat with purple backpack and arm attachments. You get the briefcase full of money. And all these parts have been available before in other sets or other Joe figures. The dolly with the three Energon cubes are the same cubes and a dolly that was used in the Mass Device. Build a Mass Device. I mean, it's not a build a figure.
Build a WMD.
They came in the DVD boxes, the DVD sets, where you got a DVD, a bunch of figures, and a piece of the Mass Device. So it's good repurposing of parts, which is, you know, really kind of what they do with G.I. Joe. But then there's this brand new little tiny Joe-sized Soundwave with super little tiny cassettes. It comes with three of these tiny little cassettes. They don't transform. That's all right. But it's just a really neat thing that they hadn't done before. And then on the back of the box, there's like this kind of allusions to a story. Well, not allusions, but like a brief description of a story that's never actually happened in the comics, where Destro and Shockwave have this little side deal going on that Cobra Commander and Megatron aren't really privy to, but Soundwave is like hiding out in tape recorder mode, like spying on him, and he's gonna rat him out. And you know, it's kind of too bad that story doesn't exist, because it sounds like it might have been cool.
I know it's almost like somebody came up with the idea of like a fake movie trailer, and so but in like the form of a comic. So, like you said, like you have these little panels and stuff that you can look at it, and you're actually gleaming like plot elements out of it of something happening, but it's a story that didn't even really happen. But it's like a fully realized like little micro continuity where all this stuff is happening. It's a story that didn't exist outside of somebody coming up with something ridiculous to justify this toy's existence, but yet the fictional love that they poured into, like, at least trying to make it funny, like the events around it that's going on of this toy. It's really cool, and I think that is like this is the perfect example of an SDCC exclusive. Just like making something ridiculous, having complete fun with it, like making the packaging and everything just really unique and cool. Like that, I kind of wish I had gotten one, but I kind of had just promised myself that I'm just going to take a step back from it all this year, because I just got way too much stuff coming up, especially TFCon and everything.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, if I could have added something to this set, it would have been so rad if Destro came with a Joe-sized Shockwave gun. That's the only thing I would have added to this set. It's a really cool set. It's cool if you're into Transformers. It's cool if you're into G.I. Joe. And it's badass if you're into both.
And then they did that last year with the Joe crossover. They gave Cobra Commander the Megatron gun. So, yeah, that would have been awesome.
Right. And, like, for so long, people have been talking about, man, it would be so great if there was a Joe Transformer crossover toy line. Hopefully, this isn't the end of, or the only way we're ever going to see something like that is with these Comic-Con exclusive sets. It'd be really great if sometime down the road they took it a step further, actually had transforming vehicles that were sized to Joe's. Who knows? It seems like G.I. Joe is having a really hard time finding relevance these days. I mean, the Real American Hero line was huge in the 80s. It was big time. The show was popular. The toys were popular. The comic book was popular. Joe just doesn't seem to have it anymore. I think Joe needs a big change to find a relevant version of itself for this day and age. I don't think it's the movies. But I don't think they're going to be willing to risk changing it so much that it's unrecognizable to the older Joe fans by doing stuff like getting rid of Cobra. But that's what I love. Like, I don't want to see Cobra go away, but it might have to save Joe, to find a relevant version of G.I. Joe, to save this franchise that seems to just be hanging on by its fingernails the last few years. So we'll see how it goes. Chugging along on topic. Hey man, Arms Micron, the little capsule toy weapons that they put out.
Oh, you got them?
I got a bag of them.
How many?
10, which includes doubles.
Hmm.
Hey, you want some of these doubles?
Yeah. Which ones do you have doubles of? Well, talk about the ones you got, and then tell me as you go through which ones are doubles.
I'm going to dig them all out of the box. Let's see. Do I got them all here? 1, 2. Awesome podcast listening. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's two more. Nine and 10. Okay. Well, apparently in this release, there's only, was it 4 molds? And they come in different colors. So, like, the animal kind of ones, two of them are animals, two of them are more humanoid. The animal ones are Decepticons. They have these tiny little Decepticon emblems. The humanoid ones are Autobots. So you have, and Evangelist talked about this recently, I think the last Odd Show. So you have these gecko-looking guys that turn into these weird axes. You have these Cobra dudes that turn into, like, weird axes. A lot of weird axes. You have this dude that is very reminiscent of Optimus Prime, very prime looking, turns into a gun. And this yellow dude that is reminiscent of Bumblebee that turns into, like, a knife thing that just really kind of looks like its arms are sticking out and its legs flipped up and has really loose joints, at least on the one that I got. The Bumblebee-looking knife one is the only one I didn't get doubles of in some form or another. I got 2 of the prime-looking gun guys. I got 2 of the black geckos, 2 of the purple geckos, 2 of the black snakes, and 1 purple snake. The snakes are pretty cool. I'm pretty impressed with the snakes. Transforming snakes can be difficult. For something this small, I think they did a pretty good job. They're all kind of neat, but I don't know. Well, from what I've seen of the Arms Microns that come with the toys, like the full size figures, those look more complicated, more full. These seem like the sort of thing you would get in a capsule out of a coin machine. Like, they're a little thinner, a little floppier, but they still have all the like the 5mm ports, so they function. I know Vangelis has done some interesting stuff, like sticking them together and kind of creating new things like dragons and whatnot out of them. So I think with some imagination, you could do more with these than they just are. But, you know, they're all right for what they are. There's nothing wrong with them. And being 5mm port compatible, you could use them with anything with that size hand. So they're not just for Prime. They're for whatever you want them to be for. So there's just a bunch of these neat little transforming weapons. And the bubbles they come in are way more complicated than anything you see in those little capsule machines in the United States. They got a little locking deal and a hinge, and it's a whole thing.
Weird.
Right. So, and they came in a bag. Like, the way it was listed on BBTS was bag of 10, and yep, they were in a bag. Just a big plastic bag. So, yeah. I mean, I can't really think of much more to say about them.
Which one did you say you had doubles of?
I got two of the purple gecko, two of the black gecko, two of the black snake, and two of the Optimus Prime looking thing.
Yeah, I'd be down to take those off your hand. Right, you don't have triples, right? You just got doubles?
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. We'll discuss.
We will discuss, indeed.
Because, you know, you're going to TFCon.
Yeah.
So.
I am. That's true.
Even if I put these in the mail, because you're not staying that long in Toronto, right?
10 days. I'll be back.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'll be back like the 31st. So
I probably shouldn't send them before you're going to be back.
Well, then they'd be waiting for me. But yeah, we'll talk about it. Whatever.
All right. Other on topics. Back to the Fall of Cybertron. So I got all three of the deluxes. Prime, Jazz, and Shockwave. Yep. I sure did.
Share your thoughts.
Man, they're disappointing. Really disappointing. At their best, they're okay. I think Jazz, like, just as far as transformation goes, Jazz is the most interesting. There are elements to his transformation that do not feel old and simplified, that actually feel modern and current. Lots of parts kind of move and fold. From the hood or from the roof of the car as you're putting them into robot mode and vice versa. There's a lot of folding and stuff accordioning together, which is cool. Let me pull them out so I can look at them while I'm talking. In robot mode, there's unfortunate gaps that I know Megas talked about, like in his shoulder and head region, that just looks like his head is floating in this void of a hollow chest. They cheat on the wheels, like the wheels on his feet. The wheels don't actually get anywhere near his feet. And you could actually, and then when he's in robot mode, you could see six pairs of wheels. They try to hide two of them.
Yeah.
But they don't do a very good job.
One set of, unlike the fake wheels, aren't they a different size as well?
Yeah, they're smaller.
Yeah, which is weird.
But not by a huge amount, though.
Okay.
But they're down on his feet anyway. Yeah, he has, like, clicking ratchet joints that aren't, you know, they're not that great. His proportions are a little off. He's not great in robot mode. He has the least chintzy transformation. I think his car mode looks pretty cool. I like the design of his car mode. Car mode is cool. Robot is meh. It's okay. Transformation's all right. Yeah. Optimus Prime. Ick. It's like basic, like a basic class figure quality transformation on a deluxe price toy. Really a bummer. He's small in robot mode. He's tiny in vehicle mode. You know, he's pretty wide, but he's really short. Very compact. This size class does not benefit him in any way. And just all of them feel really light. Like as Vangelis was saying last time, like somebody tore them apart, and besides a handful of screws, like they don't even have the metal pins we're used to. Like I'm looking at Prime's knee right here, and there's a metal screw that goes through for the knee, but it's not like those kind of pins that we're used to seeing. And the wheels are just plastic with a peg that snaps into the hole so it doesn't come back out, but it's just all plastic. I'm hoping that the thinking was this isn't a main line. This is something that is a short run kind of line because it's based on the game that's not going to be ongoing. So they're going to cheap out budget wise because it's not the flagship line that Pred is. I hope that's why these are kind of cheap and simplified, and not that this is a sign of things to come. That this, I'm hoping this isn't the future of retail mainline Transformers. I guess we're going to have to see. But yeah, when they talk about what it was, what was the Prime figure recently that's out in Japan and they said doesn't live up to their standards for a U.S. release?
Breakdown?
Yeah,
which I got, and I'll be talking about that later.
Right. If these are to their standard and everyone seems to love Breakdown isn't, that's kind of a bummer. So we're going to see how it goes. And it makes me hope that Bruticus is better. The individual Bruticus figures are on a higher level. If... I don't know. The Prime isn't, like, offensive. It's not complete and utter trash. But if you have the War for Cybertron Prime, you don't need this one. You probably don't need this one anyway. Don't feel bad about not getting it if you don't get it. Get it if you want it. It's not offensive. It's just not very good. It's painfully mediocre. If it was really that awful, if it was offensively bad, then there would be some value in it as being a terrible thing. It's just so average. It hurts. Then I save Shockwave for last, not just because he's Shockwave, but because this is the one we overlap on. I like Shockwave's design a lot. I think he looks cool. I think he would have looked more cool at a larger size class. Like this design in a Voyager with some more complexity to the transformation, some more posability and articulation in the robot would have been fantastic. In this case, I feel he's okay. I think he's the best looking robot of the batch. I think he's in between Prime and Jazz as far as quality of the transformation goes. I think the flying spaceship cannon that he turns into works conceptually for the character. As I said when we were talking to Matt Teeger at BotCon, they managed to find an alt mode for him that isn't a flying gun, but it's really a flying gun. So I think all that stuff's great. It's just he suffers from being part of this line, which is unfortunate. I don't know how it is with yours, but the piece that becomes like the arm cannon in robot mode, the front piece, I have a really hard time keeping it attached to the three rails.
It
falls off real easy.
The silver part off the three barrels?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine stays on snug enough. When I push it down all the way, it stays fine. There's plenty of friction there.
Yeah, like I could get it to stay,
mm-hmm.
but then I move it around a bit or bump it or like touch that part ever so little and it just it just slides around.
Yeah, mine's not like that. Mine's fine.
All right, so, I mean, it's cool. I love the huge clunk when you're transforming them back into robot mode and the spring-loaded head pops out. That's cool. It's a good design, and I'm repeating myself. It's a good design that could have been a great toy. In this case, he's all right. Get it because it looks cool. Don't expect to be blown away by engineering or anything like that. He's got a little lack of posability for my tastes. But otherwise, it's okay. What do you think?
I think I share your thoughts on it. I had found, because somebody had sent me this Counterpunch, because he had bought it and kind of decided it didn't really fit into his collection. So he was like, hey, anybody want this? And I was like, yeah, I'll take it. So he gave it to me at cost. So it was basically like I found it at retail. I'm glad that I did because I found the Wave at Toys R Us a couple days later. And they had everybody but Shockwave, which is really the only one that I wanted. I don't want that Prime. I think it looks horrible, especially compared to the beautiful figure that War for Cybertron Prime was. I don't remember when I got it, but you should go back and listen to that episode and hear me talk about it because I was really taken by that Deluxe and I transformed it again for the first time in a long time a few weeks ago. And I still think that figure holds up. It's just a terrific figure. So, like, I wasn't fond of the Prime redesign anyway, but I'm kind of glad that the figure isn't all that great because I don't have to buy it out of obligation for being a good toy. And then the Jazz, like, everybody is just on Jazz. Like, I haven't heard any good things about him from hardly anyone that has him in hand. So I'm just going to say I'm just not going to pick him up. I don't think collectors should feel obligated to get something that they don't like. And it's kind of a shame that I see so many people that do that. They feel like they kind of have to buy stuff just for completion's sake. And so, but whatever, that's a whole other topic. But so yeah, I opted out of this Wave to only get the Shockwave. I think Shockwave is okay. And I really have to echo what you said, Seth, about his design, because when you look at the CG render of this Prime or this Shockwave in his robot mode, but straight out of the game, like he's meaty, like he looks powerful. And sadly, like that's all missing from the toy. Like the legs on this are just skeletal, like it's skinny, like it hits all the design cues from the game art, but it just feels really lacking when it comes to, I think, what that character model is really getting across of Shockwave just being this really powerful looking robot. I don't know if you noticed, but when it's in vehicle mode, if you look at the top of the chest thing, you can see because of the way it transforms in the toy doesn't match the way it transforms in the game. So when you turn that part around, you can actually see like the molded top of Shockwave's head sitting on top of the vehicle mode, because in the game his head just kind of pops down and sticks there, and you can see the top of his ear sticking out. But the way the toy is the head is actually on the opposite side, so they molded it in to match the game model. I thought that was kind of neat because unless you're looking right at it, you don't really see it. But yeah, it's just. Like, I don't know. It's, I was a bit disappointed. I still like it. It's a Shockwave. I think it's a better design than the movie Shockwave toy. And which again, it wasn't yet another Shockwave toy that I only admittedly liked because it was Shockwave. This is definitely more of a G1 Shockwave, and it's probably the closest. I think this is the only G1-esque Shockwave we've gotten since maybe Alternators? I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. I'd have to go back and think. Because, I mean, say what you will about continuity, but War for Cybertron was always kind of a Neo G1. At least that's how it was conceptualized until it was kind of forced into the aligned continuity. So this is still kind of a G1 in spirit Shockwave, as far as I'm concerned. Another cool thing that they did was the gun, as you had mentioned, Seth, the muzzle coming off, it actually becomes like the multi-barreled Gatling gun. I think it's called the Scrap Maker. And maybe, I don't know how well it matches up. Admittedly, I haven't really looked, but I thought that was cool because you don't use, it has a 5mm peg, which you don't need for a Shockwave because you fold his hand up and it just clips on his arm like it's a gun arm. But you could actually take this off and give it to one of the other game bots, and now they have one of the optional weapons that you can pick up in game. So that's a neat concept. Like I like that, and that would have been something cool to do too, that kind of embraced the game nature of the whole, yeah, there's multiple weapons in the game that various characters can use. So like that in itself is cool. He's really simple. He's really kind of skinny and lacking as far as the plastic goes. And like even the inside of his legs, being how skinny they are just like hollowed out. And so I think Shockwave's okay. I'm glad I got him. Like, I think he'll look good on a shelf with other Shockwaves and stuff, but yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with this Generations line. And like, Hasbro seemed really excited when they told us at BotCon, like, what do you guys think about Generations coming back? What do you think about the 40 Generations? And everybody's like, hell yes. Generations was an awesome toy line, and it's a really, really, really good thing for that to come back and continue to exist alongside, you know, Prime figures and movie figures and all that stuff. But I have to admit, like, if this is the benchmark for what we're getting for the new 2012, 2013 Generations, it's a crying shame, I have to say, because this is Generations in name only, because it's not living up to what we've gotten previously. And I've been doing a lot of thinking, like, I think across the board, it's obvious that there is an initiative with, you know, Takara and Hasbro to downsize the line for cost saving or whatever, or to increase profit margins. And I don't think that's a secret. I mean, Hasbro said as much, that there's reasons for why they're doing it. But it's not, at least my opinion of the whole thing, or what I thought was going to happen is, you know, you're getting more complicated Transformers. They're requiring more engineering costs because they're getting so complicated. They have more parts. So the easy way for Hasbro to compensate with that and to keep costs down is just to make them smaller. Unfortunately for these Generations figures, they're not only making them smaller, but they're also taking out all that progress in engineering that we've gotten over the past few years. I think these figures, we would think they were fantastic if they came out 4-5 years ago. But like, especially after like the previous Generations and Classics figures that we've gotten, the stuff we've gotten in the movie line with, at least with like Revenge of the Fallen and immediately after, Dark of the Moon is another example how they kind of cut back on the cost. The figures were smaller. They were lacking in all those awesome paint apps that the Revenge of the Fallen figures had. The complicated nature of the figures were downsized. And I think the prevailing thought on that was that in a movie line that was trying to bring in the kids, the toys had just gotten too complicated, and so they were trying to simplify it a bit and appeal more to the kids than they were the collectors and stuff. And that may be what they're doing across the board, but this is that mindset that was given to us in Dark of the Moon, just completely taken to the extreme. So the whole and it makes me wonder too, like, it's obvious that they're trying to maximize their profit margins. They're cutting down the plastic amount, they're cutting down the engineering, and they're actually increasing costs. The costs for the generation stuff have gone up at many retailers over the past month. They've actually have stated that, I think BBTS stated that Hasbro is now increasing the price per case on Transformers figures. Even with the new waves of Prime, but I might be mistaken on that. But so Hasbro is charging more money, which I'm not against. Transformers as a toy line has hardly gotten many price increases until more recently, and they were $10 for years. So like going up to $15, I'm willing to pay that. The problem that I have, the pill that's hard to swallow for me, is not that they're just raising the price, but now the figure quality is going down. And I think that's a big part of why I've been so interested in like going back and visiting like the Beast Wars stuff. And I'm not saying that the Beast Wars is like a higher quality line, but a lack of excitement in the current stuff is kind of pushing me to go back and get older stuff that I've missed. But yeah, like, I don't know. I agree with you, Seth, on pretty much like everything you said, and it's, I think the line as a whole, this first wave is really disappointing, and I hope that it's an exception and not the rule, because if it is, Generations has gone from being the thing that I've been the most excited for in a long time in Transformers to being one of the biggest disappointments I've ever had in my history of collecting Transformers.
Yeah, it makes me wish back at BotCon when these things were all in the display case, I had taken a closer look. I spent some time looking at them, but I wasn't really looking at them, like trying to see like where there were faults. I was just like, yeah, hey, look at all that stuff, looks cool. And it really makes me wish not only that I had done that for these, but for that Voyager size Soundwave on the way. And makes you wonder about the Voyager Grimlock on the way. If they chintz out on those too, that's going to be I don't want to say the last straw, but man, it's going to hurt. The Voyager ones are cruddy.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the thing. Like, there's nothing is set in stone at this point. Like, I think some of the WTFs we've gotten while having so many new figures from various lines in hand is just like, at this point, I can't take anything for granted. It's just, yeah. So I don't know. Like, and I don't want to be a naysayer. I love the brand. I love the toys. Like, but I do think that this has in some of the stuff we've gotten over the past few years, we're at a low point, and sure, it's going to come out of it at some point or another. Like, the line's not going to die. Transformers is not dead, but as so many people like to say when stuff like this happens, but my first foray into Generations and seeing them in hand, and you know, just Transformers in general with what we've gotten since Dark of the Moon debuted last year, is it's all really disappointing to me.
Yep. And I don't blame the designs at all. I think these designs High Moon has come up with are cool. It's they just suffered from the quality of this line of figures, like the cost saving, cost cutting, smaller size, cheapy transformations. They're the problem, not the designs. Designs are cool.
Yep.
I really like Jazz in car mode. I'm going to put him back in car mode, and he's probably going to stay that way for a good long time.
Hmm. But
So that's all my on topic.
Okay, so I talked about Shockwave. I got a few other things. I went back and bought my first vintage G1 figure that I've gotten in a long time. And I will share... I will share this picture with you. I bought a G1 Headmaster Hosehead, also known, which I'm going to refer to him as Cab, which was his name in Japan in the Master Force cartoon. So this... With my my two knockoffs that I got several months ago of Shuda and Minerva, I now have the three Headmaster Juniors from Master Force. So I'm really excited about that. I also got a set of Repro labels in because the stickers were actually not bad for what they were, but they're definitely showing some signs of wear. But so I'm gonna probably take the Repro labels with me to Canada and sticker him up. While I'm there, I think, is something to do in an evening of downtime, if one happens to happen. But, so yeah, I have my three Headmaster Juniors of the Autobots, and next up, I will be attempting to track down the Decepticon Headmaster Junior Trio, which are...
Just real quick, say Canada again like that.
Canada.
Tetsuo!
What was that? Crap, I'm drawing a blank. That famous anime with the bike. Akira. Akira, yeah.
Yeah, so, they spend a lot of time yelling each other's names.
Yeah.
At each other.
Yeah, so... So yeah, if anybody has a good deal on a G1 Squeeze Play, or a Fangry, or the third one, I can't remember his American name. But yeah, hit me up. Otherwise...
Squeeze Play sounds like the next version of Kiss Play. It sounds like a more tame version of Kiss Play. You know, where they hug instead of make out.
Do you know what Squeeze Play's name was in Japan?
Kiss Play?
Cancer. Which some people think Kiss Play is a cancer to the fandom. So there you go.
Oh,
your joke works on many levels. But no. I guess I didn't even actually talk about the figure. But no, like, Cab is cool. Like, he shares a lot of the same design elements with the other smaller Headmaster figures that he was released alongside. But he's simultaneously perhaps the best and the worst of the three. He's the best in that, like, well, his robot mode is cool. His vehicle mode is cool too, because he has a fully working and rotating, like you can hear it, like it ratcheting fire engine ladder, because he turns into a fire truck. And it's fully articulated, posable. It's got a little posable nozzle at the end, as most fire truck transformer toys do. But still cool, especially being G1. His vehicle mode is just really impressive. But the only goofy part is that with the other two Headmasters, who turn into just regular cars, you kind of pop the... Not kind of, but you flip the hood, the roof of the car up, and actually sit the Headmaster inside the car where it would normally sit to drive, and it drives it its own transtector like a car, which is awesome. But him being a fire truck, because the cab of the fire truck becomes his legs, so his legs are in there, so there's no way for the pilot to sit. So he kind of just sits in between the cab of the fire truck and the back. So, like, if you're looking at it from the side, it's just a dude just sitting in an empty space in the fire truck behind the cab of the truck, like, driving it. So, that part is a little bit goofy, but other than that, he's a really outstanding G1 figure. But, so he's cool. But I'm glad to have that trio completed.
Yeah, that's a cool little subset.
Yeah. I got... The, I think we alluded to earlier, I found the Creon troop builder mini, like the little minifig troop builders of the auto troopers and the Viacons. And they're neat. And they're affordable. I think they're only like 10 bucks. And you get, four minifigs per, I'm trying to find the picture for you. Here it is. You get 4 minifigs per set. The Otter Trooper set comes with 3 Otter Troopers, and each Otter Trooper is unique, and we've talked about it, like, and I'm sure everybody's seen the pictures, but you get a regular Otter Trooper with just a pistol. You get an Otter Trooper with door wings, like, think like G1 Jazz, the door sticking out the back, and like a larger rifle, and then like a smokestack on his arm. So I guess the implication is he turns into like some sort of truck. And then you have like an aerial vehicle, auto trooper with actual like plane wings on the back, kind of insinuating he transforms into a jet. And that's kind of neat. Like having auto troopers have the same robot mode but different vehicle modes. Like that kind of reminds me of the old G1 clones. Like they had the Autobot clones and the Decepticon clones, and the robot modes all look the same, but I think they had different vehicle modes if I remember correctly. But the auto trooper set comes with a barricade, which I'm not sure which barricade that's after. It might just be like an original take on barricade. And he has like a little vehicle that he's escaping from the auto troopers with that you can build. So you get those 4 minifigs. And then the Viacon set, kind of the same thing. You have 3 unique Viacons. One has the jet wings on the back. It looks just like the jet wing or the jet Viacons from the cartoon. You have a Viacon with wheels on his legs. So he's obviously like a vehicle Viacon, a car Viacon. And then you have another one with kind of like door things on his back, and then dual blasters that attach to his arms. So, and they come with a minifig of G1 Cliffjumper, who also has like this little vehicle thing that you can build while he's escaping from the Viacons. There's lots of escaping going on in these sets, but no, these are cool. I really hope that we get more of these little Creon sets like this. And obviously, as we've seen from SDCC, they are really putting their marbles in the bag with the Creons, which I think everybody wanted them to do from the beginning. So, but it's good to see that Hasbro just didn't give up, because I'm not sure how much those original Creo waves sold, but I've seen them on clearance pretty much everywhere. And I'm kind of happy to see that Hasbro's not just straight up abandoning the brand completely, that they're going to retool it and make it work. So,
yeah, the way it's been going on clearance, the way they were blowing them out from the club table at BotCon, and I was really bummed out. I think people were saying it was like $12 for Megatron, and that would have been a great way to get the Shockwave, and Evangelist was going to buy all the bricks off of me. So the Shockwave was all I wanted. Yeah. So I was sad I missed that. But I mean, the way everyone's been blowing them out, and then the battleship line started, I started thinking like, well, maybe Creon or Creo is just going to be a thing that they take from franchise to franchise as movies and TV shows happen or whatever. And like, maybe there'll be a G.I. Joe one, because I didn't know the battleship one was coming. Then maybe there'll be a Joe one when the Joe movie happens, or who knows. My Little Pony one just around the corner. But the fact that they came back to Transformers, and maybe they were already locked in with how the development cycles work, and this is the end, but I guess we'll find out. But I didn't really expect there to be any more Transformer Creos.
Yeah. And if the battleship stuff is any indication, this might be Hasbro's way of giving brands toys that normally wouldn't have a toy line. Because they obviously weren't going to make a full-on toy line for Battleship, so they're like, oh, let's put it in Creo. And it'd be interesting to see if they do that in the future. Like, if they have a property they want to revisit. And so instead of just creating a toy line for it and finding peg space, like, let's just make Creo versions of that. And that could be neat. Like, what if there was, like, Creo Mask or something like that? Like, how cool would that be?
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Because,
dude, those minifigs would be badass.
Yes, they would. And, oh, and you get the masks. Oh. What did I think?
I know that's one of some badass.
Oh man, yeah. I'm sure I'm not the first person that thought of that. And hell, we may have even just talked about it on the show before. I don't remember, but that's the first time that I remember thinking
about
it.
First time it sunk in.
Yeah, exactly. So
the first time you thought of the helmet possibilities.
I'm sure it's been talked about before. So, but I'm going to say I agree with whoever said that Creo mask is a good idea. But yeah, so I got those Creo sets. And we talked about Shockwave. And the final thing that I got that was on topic is I got I keep wanting to say Action Master because it's AM is the initials before all the figures. So whenever I see AM, I think Action Master. But Arms Micron Breakdown. A figure of great debate in the fandom and on TFW. Lately, this is a figure that everyone has been wondering what the hell is going on with it, because Hasbro has shown multiple repaints of Voyagers now and no hint of Breakdown, even though we've seen Breakdown originally in gray proto pics from back in the Cybertron Con pics of whenever it was, January or February of earlier this year. We're already seeing multiple repaints of other molds. So everybody's like, what the hell, Hasbro? And people ask Hasbro at BotCon, and BotCon's like, oh, what Breakdown, huh? I don't know what you're talking about. So apparently somebody asked Aaron Archer at SDCC about Breakdown, and he's kind of insinuating that maybe it doesn't meet our standards or something. So the thing is why would this figure not meet Hasbro standards if they had just co-developed it with Takara like they do every other figure? So that means that Hasbro never had an intention of releasing this to begin with, which is freaking strange. I don't understand it. I don't know, but whatever. I want to talk about that at some point with some people, but now is not necessarily the time. So, but anyway, that is the history up to this figure. And apparently the copyright stamp on this only says Takara Tomy or Tomy or whatever. So I got my Breakdown.
Maybe they just don't feel that it's going to peg warm enough.
I guess. Even though,
and they're developing a Voyager Bumblebee.
There's already a Voyager Bumblebee. There's the Weaponizer Bumblebee. I think that's around a Voyager size. So there's actually already a Voyager Bumblebee out there. But.
Drat.
Yep. So anyway, okay. So Breakdown. Breakdown is it's a very interesting toy. He feels different than every other figure in the Prime line. It's almost as if he's made out of a high quality model kit plastic versus just straight up toy. He feels lighter. His plastic is definitely, I'd say, I don't know if lower quality is the right word, but it's lighter. So maybe it's a lower quality. I don't think that it necessarily reflects badly on the toy. Because I think the mold itself is terrific. It is a good mold. But the only problem that I have specifically with the mold, aside from the light feel of it, is if you look at it from the back. And here, I'll show you a back shot here. But he's really kind of hollow looking. The back of his legs, it looks like something that was come off a sprue. I mean, I guess I had similar issues with the Fall of Cybertron Shockwave. But, his legs kind of look awful from the back. But from the front, it is gorgeous. It is a gorgeous looking toy. And it is beefy and meaty. Those mean the same thing, but it's a really impressive looking mold. The head sculpt is just gorgeous. They nailed it, and it's a shame that the Arms Micron stuff is not really getting paint. They're doing the whole sticker thing because the paint job. The only place that the figure really has paint, aside from some of the clear parts, because it's mold. The windows are molded in, so they had to paint it blue, or else it would just be giant chunks of clear plastic. But the paint on the face is on the head in general is just gorgeous. It is just, it's a this bright red glossy. It's nice and glossy. The eyes are painted yellow, and they have tiny little black pinstripes around the eyes to give it like this nice cel-shaded cartoon-esque detail. It's just, it's the head sculpt and the paint and everything on it is just really well done. He's pretty poseable. I mean, to acceptable levels. He could have used like some ankle tilts. But like, and the feet, like the heels and stuff don't even move. Like it's all one piece that kind of rotates up when it transforms. Like I've heard people say that they thought that this was comparable to like first edition Bulkhead. There's no way. First edition Bulkhead blows this figure out of the water on an engineering level, on an aesthetic level. Like I could see the comparison because it's a very, very handsome figure. And I just kind of wish it had paint, but Breakdown, he has a fairly bland color scheme in the show anyway, so I think just doing some touch-ups, like maybe using like a Gundam marker and doing the headlights and maybe like some of the detailing will more than suffice. And I think it'll look better than the stickers. In fact, I've seen people do that on the boards already. But it's a shame because I don't know. Like, I think some people are a little underwhelmed because there's a crazy ass demand for this right now. Like, all the stores are selling out. Whenever a store gets some in, it sells out instantly. A lot of the English or North American-based retailers have already, like, captured prey. They tweeted out, like, sorry, like, supply for this figure is all but gone. Our supplier doesn't think they'll ever be able to get any more in. No one that I've talked to is able to get it in. The only reason why I got this is because it briefly popped up on Ami Ami, and friend of ours, Valkysis, was kind enough to tweet it out, and I added it to an existing Ami Ami order, which meant that I didn't really have to pay that much in shipping, and then within a couple minutes, it was sold out again. So I got really lucky, but thanks a lot, Valkysis. I like the figure
Completely understandable if folks are thinking this is going to be their only shot at it, because Hasbro is saying nope.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, you have to go for it.
Well, and the thing is a lot of people, including myself, were holding out saying, I mean, because like I said, there's been so much debate over this figure of people, and for good reason, saying, I'm not going to pay out the ass for an import of this when Hasbro is just going to release one on their own. And when it didn't come up in any of the talk and displays from SDCC, people started getting worried. And then like an interview came out or somebody had posted an article from where they had just straight up gone up to Aaron Archer, like after the panel, asking him straight up, like, what's up with Breakdown? Because nobody's saying anything about it and you guys are playing dumb. So once that news came out, good luck finding one, because all those people that were holding out that could find one probably got one. And I had, like I said, and I was lucky because I had gotten this pre-order in before that. But the only reason why I did it is because it was less than Japanese retail. I had an existing order, so the shipping was going to be cheap. So I was like, well, I was holding out for a Hasbro version, but this is the cheapest I'll ever see the Takara one. I might as well just go ahead and buy it, add it to my existing order. I'm glad I did, because there's no way in hell that I'd be paying the aftermarket price to snag one now, because you're never going to find one for the MSRP, I bet, ever again. And also promptly put in a pre-order for the BBTS Silas version. So we'll see what happens. But it's a shame that we're not getting a domestic release. I'm not saying that anybody's entitled to anything, but just being a fan favorite character and such a terrific character design. And just a terrific character in general, I think. Definitely one of my favorite Decepticons from the show. I think it's a shame that Hasbro just doesn't seem to be wanting to put out a larger version of this character. I can't for the life of me understand why. But, I mean, all signs point to the fact that when it came time to create this toy line, Hasbro just decided that they were not going to do a larger scale Breakdown. Takara went in and decided to do it on their own. And Takara is making a lot of money off that. because they are hitting a worldwide market. And it makes me think that that's why Takara decided to do that, is because they saw it. Because Takara's... I have a feeling that they're trying to make money off Transformers, and they're having a hard time doing that. Well, I think they're having a hard time.
I thought you were just going to stop at, I think they're trying to make money.
No, well, that's the thing. And, like, we had that interview back before when they were talking about their justification for Arms Micron, and, like, one of the designers even apologized. Like, he even said, basically said, look, we're trying something new. We're trying to hit a new market. Please bear with us. Because traditionally, at least with North America, we look to the East to get premium versions of characters when the ones we have fall flat. And I think Takara knew that, and they were kind of apologizing, saying, like, look, we know that, like, ours are normally the ones you pay extra for because we tend to try to go the extra mile or give you an incentive to buy this version of the toy, but we're going in the opposite direction now. We're putting no paint on them. We're putting stickers. But I think Takara Tomy is trying to... They're trying something new with Transformers and they're experimenting, trying to make the brand something that they're at least trying to appeal to new people. Because Transformers is not large in Japan. I know we say that all the time. Like, it's no secret. But I kind of give them credit for saying, like, look, let's take this line and try to do something new with it and see where it goes, instead of just doing the same thing that we've been doing for years. And I appreciate that. It also says that they are willing to hella experiment on the brand in order to try to pull new people in and get people to buy the toys. But I also think that the reason why this exists is because they saw Hasbro opting not to create a toy of this character at this size, and Takara saying, F that noise. If we make this, then we are going to make bankrolls. You know, as much bankrolls as you can make off of a mold. And now we've already seen three versions of this mold before the first one was even released. So they are definitely interested in pumping this out, because I think that has to, like, the whole lighter plastic and maybe the hollowness of it in the legs and stuff. Like, maybe they are kind of trying to cut some costs on this mold, because they didn't get the financial backup from Hasbro where they co-developed it. Because Hasbro and Takara, they co-developed the stuff and they both pay for it. If Hasbro opted not to do this, then that means Takara is having to pay for this all by themselves, and I can kind of understand where some of the corners were cut on it. Like, my only other negative for this is, like, there was some mold flash. Like, one of the panels on his legs rotates around and flips up from the outside in to fill in the leg. One of mine would pop off at the slightest movement. It would not stay on at all, and I was really bummed, because I was like, wow, this whole portion of the transformation is non-functional. So I took a closer look at it, and the mushroom peg that plugs in actually had mold flash. I scraped it off with my fingernail and popped it on, and then it started working perfectly. But I don't know if that's, like, an issue with him, or if that's something Arms Micron across the board, because I don't own any of the Arms Micron stuff, so I don't really, I guess, have the experience with the buying the Japanese versions to know if any of these problems are unique to breakdown, or if it's something across the board with the Arms Micron stuff. But his Rhino Hammer is neat. Like, I think the Arms Micron stuff is cool, especially the ones that come with the characters, because they're all, like, little transforming versions of the weapons that those characters wield in the show. I think that's neat. On the other hand, the capsule stuff is neat, too, because they're just going wild and just creating all sorts of stuff that has nothing to do with the show. So there's a little both in there for everybody. But I like Breakdown. He's not perfect. He has his flaws. He is absolutely beautiful. He's a great display piece. The transformation is clever. The vehicle mode looks awesome. I wish he had more paint, but I'm glad that I got him. And I wish everybody who wanted one didn't have to pay out the ass on aftermarket prices to get one, because I think everyone would be way more satisfied, because I don't know if I would be able to justify paying $80 to $100 for something like this, because it's in the big picture, I don't think it's worth it. But Breakdown is so awesome that is really a subjective thing to most people. So it's a shame, but there'll be more versions of it, so everybody will get their chance. But that's my on topic.
Okay. Well, let's go off topic then. And Let's just dig in.
My off topics.
I had a couple things chilling in my pile of loot from Big Bad Toy Store. I shipped them. I shipped my whole pile of loot as soon as those Fall of Cybertron figures popped in. So a couple of things I got. Both of these things either had their prices reduced or were straight up on clearance. So the first one is Figma Robocop. A Figma Robocop.
Ooh. Have you ever owned a Figma before? Is this your first Figma?
No, I have a handful of Figmas.
Oh, okay.
I got that Vegeta whilst at BotCon.
Was that a Figma? Or is it a Figuarts?
Oh, maybe it's Figuarts.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm not sure what's what, but no, I think is it K-On?
Oh yeah, those are Figma. Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember that. Okay, I remember that stuff. Yeah.
I got those for the instruments.
Right. Yeah. I remember that stuff now. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, you know, a couple. He's pretty cool. I mean, if you want a Robocop figure right now, your choices are this or the NECA one, which I also have. I got that a little while ago. Actually, he's right over here. Let me grab him.
Did you talk about that? I forgot you got
that.
Yeah,
well, I had just gotten it like that same day.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I couldn't really say much about him. The NECA one is bigger. I think the face looks more like the dude, where the Figma one is a little more smoother, maybe a little anime-ish. They're both fairly accurate in the sculpting. The Figma one, I think, is probably better articulated. But, man, it's one of those deals where it's like it's going to come down to personal taste. Like, I can't recommend one definitively over the other. If anybody's on the fence about this, you're just going to have to go with your guts. Like, do you want it to be bigger? Do you want it to be more expensive? Is the NECA one's going to be bigger and the Figma one's going to be more expensive? But the Figma one comes with a damaged helmet. It comes with an effect part for the muzzle flash on the gun. It comes with some replacement leg pieces, so you could have the leg opened up and stick the gun in the little leg holster thing. It's not a mechanical feature. It's like a part swap kind of a deal. Comes with, like, you know, several pairs of hands. One problem I have with the Figma one, though, is it seems like all the joint connections, like the ball for the wrist and some parts in the arm, are really shallow. And they pop off pretty easy. Like, when I'm posing it around and stuff, and I'm bending the arm at the elbow, and I push it a little too far, and the whole arm just popped off. Like, not in a broken way, but just in the pin that holds the arm and that section of the arm together was just so shallow that the little bit of force and just boop, it just popped out. So that's not what I expected from this this category of toy from Japan. I expect a little bit more. But, you know, I don't think it's bad. A bad figure at all. I appreciated that I got it for a few bucks cheaper than normal because BBTS had reduced the price. But, you know, it's cool. I like it. I can't decide which one I would recommend if somebody put me on the spot and said, which one should I get? I don't know which one you should get. That's for you. You need to look inside and search your soul. Your Robocop soul. Deep down.
I wish I had a Robocop soul.
You do. You just have to find it. Is it your move, Punk? Anyway,
I get it.
Moving on. Another thing that was in that pile of loot. I keep buying Microman stuff periodically. Microman stuff always looks really cool sitting in the package or in pictures. And every time I buy it, I go, ah, they tricked me again. But this one, where'd my mouse go? Why is my mouse pointer not? Where is my mouse cursor, man?
Did your mouse die? You got a wireless mouse?
Yeah. Ah. The power light's on. Oh. It's got fresh batteries. Gotta be kidding me. I think the batteries are fresh. Let me mess with the batteries. Because I actually had some links for you. So you could see what I'm talking about. Because this thing is pretty weird. Unbelievable. Hang on.
You might have to trim this dead out.
And it's back. And my mouse working again.
Welcome back.
Thanks. Great to be back. Thanks, buddy. So this is a weird set. I think I had been aware of this in the past, and then it completely slipped my mind, and I was just browsing through the clearance items. And it was really cheap. So this dude, or this set, a lot of Microman stuff over the years have been like life-size items, because the Microman characters are actually supposed to be that small. So they'll do stuff like a transforming cup of noodle and a transforming tape player and a transforming gun. Do these things sound familiar? G1, parts of G1 came from Microman, if you didn't know, but you probably do.
I remember we talking about that transforming cup of noodle before and me absolutely wanting to track that down. I totally forgot about it.
I think they might have it at BBTS still. Not totally sure. And really, the cup of noodle just hides a motorcycle, but still.
It's still cool. It's a cup of noodle.
Yeah, right. So this set is an energy drink bottle. A Microman figure, which is the least articulated Microman figure I've ever seen. It's kind of ridiculous. And I don't know if that was something going on with this line or just this figure specifically because it came in this set and they're like, let's cheap out on this guy. I've never seen so little articulation on Microman figure because they're like three-quarter inch size figures that have always had tons of articulation. Like going back to the 70s, they were like incredibly articulated, but whatever. So the bottle actually like transforms into this weird kind of a tracked vehicle thing that the Microman guy could ride on. And then it comes like with this weird capsule that fits, that could tuck away in the bottle, that turns into like this big turtle with a turret on its back that you could attach to the bottle by a chain. So it's like towing.
But it has a cat. The bottle. It has a cat head. It looks like it's like G1 Ravage head on a turtle body.
In these pictures, they're kind of small, but
well, look at that one. That's from the link you sent me. Look at that picture. That looks like Ravage turtle.
I think it's more turtle-ish okay. in person.
All right.
Let me see the picture. Like some of the detail is lost. That picture's a little blurry. I think it looks more turtly. But anyway. So it's just so much weird stuff. And the weirdest part, and the part that like sold me on the whole thing, like forget everything, forget the bottle, forget the cruddy Microman guy. The thing that sold me on the whole deal was the little bodied, big headed, like your generic gray alien like gray alien with a big head, big, huge black eyes that rides this little orange and black mech suit. I love it. It's so nuts. Like the turtle thing is weird. The bottle is weird. But the gray alien, who I believe is named Mr. Gray, and his little orange mech suit, is it's great. I love it. And at this price, they had a Big Bad Toy Store. Let me send you a link. They still have them in stock, everybody, on clearance. Tell me it doesn't seem kind of worth it at that price.
That's doable for anyone.
$11.47. If you want to find this thing, because it's just this weird ass thing, you got $11.47. Go to Big Bad Toy Store. I wish I was getting paid for this advertisement, but I ain't. Do a search for Microman number 052. That's it. And I love that little gray alien, dude. He's great. And they got a bunch of Microman stuff on clearance and cheapy prices. You might want to look through them and see if that ramen helicopter thing is in here.
Yeah, they got a bunch of Microman's for like under $5. I don't know if they come with the transforming stuff, but yeah, a lot of this stuff is pretty cheap. I assume you probably don't remember.
Oh, wait,
you probably don't remember which one the ramen noodle one is, do you?
Oh, it's right here.
What number?
Here, I'll send you the link.
Oh, you could just tell me the number.
Oh my god, I don't know. It's DX-05 Power Drink and Beat Loader Set.
Oh my god.
This is the Korean version, dude.
Oh my god.
It's all Kim Jong-ilin.
You didn't post it, did you?
No, because he told me to just... Here, fine. There, boom. You want it both ways. Across the street.
I have to think about this.
It looks like it's both of those sets. Like that one is like a soda can that turns into like a truck, and the other one is a cup of noodle that has a helicopter hiding inside. And it's only $14.57.
Yeah. All right, fine. I'll get it.
Yeah, because if you don't, everybody else listening to this is. And then it's going to be sold out, and you're going to feel like a dummy.
Yeah, I know.
Don't feel dumb.
Yeah, I know.
Don't be a dummy.
I won't.
You should also get the other set with the gray alien.
I don't know about that.
It's only 11. It's only $11, dude.
I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
All right. Think about it. It's going to be, well, you know, make up your mind before you finish editing this episode, because as soon as you put it out, it's going to sell out.
Unless I just edit this out completely.
Oh.
Okay. Did you get anything else?
You're a bad person. Yes.
Well, hurry up.
Why don't you relax? So, I'm checking Twitter one morning, and a tweet goes out. This is 2 weekends ago. Tweet goes out. Oh my god! ToysRUs.com has G.I. Joe Zombie Vipers in stock. I could not get to ToysRUs.com fast enough. I could not jam all my information in fast enough because I knew they were not going to stay. I got G.I. Joe Zombie Vipers. I already had one. I always knew I needed more. I'd kind of given up on the whole thing. Now I have 5.
How much were they?
And I am glad for it. Like 8-something, whatever standard
okay.
G.I. Joe prices are. It's just ToysRUs.com. They're not like, we're marking this up because we know. Like, they're not Big Bad Toy Store. Like, I said all those nice things about them. Now I just dissed them. Evened it out. Maybe next time they'll pay me and then I won't have to diss them. Hear that, Joel? Anyway. So it's so great having a bunch of them, because Their little harness thing, like they come with the container of the weird goo that turns them into zombies, and they have a helmet, and you can plug these canisters onto their back, and they have a whole row of ports for the canisters. They have multiple plugs in the back of their helmet, so you could attach the hoses for three of them. But they only ever come with one. So the whole time I had the one, I always thought, man, one of these would look so rad with a bunch of canisters, like fill up its back and helmet with the canisters and hoses. And once they have two pairs of arms each, you could really mix up the parts. You have one with normal arms, one with two tentacle arms, tentacle left, tentacle right, helmet, no helmet. So even without customizing them at all to make the faces look different, you could make them look pretty different just by swapping all the parts around. And then I already had the Hazard Viper from when I got the first one. I just think they look great in a group with a Hazard Viper. And I just imagine the Hazard Viper is just like the Wrangler. Like, he keeps them all going in the same direction, sort of a thing. So I think altogether they just look fantastic. And we talked about the Zombie Vipers before. They're really good Joes. They're just neat. I like them a lot. Then while I was at it, they had a couple other Joes that I missed out on. These are updates of classic figures, Lifeline, who's a medic, and Sci-Fi, that is a laser rifle trooper. Lifeline has better articulation than Sci-Fi. Like, he has wrist bits that Sci-Fi doesn't have, that Sci-Fi really could have benefited from, because I just can't get Sci-Fi to hold his rifle with both hands in a way that looks all right. And if he had those tilts on his wrists the way Lifeline does, he probably could hold it really good. But it's unfortunate. Otherwise, Sci-Fi is really well done. He has a removable helmet, and he has a second helmet, so he could have his helmet look like the original toy did, where it was just a visor and his nose and mouth were exposed. And then you have this alternate helmet where the visor completely covers his face and he's all protected. So that's cool. The Lifeline figure comes with so much stuff. It's nuts. As I try to grab it really quick and keep going, I failed and kept grabbing the wrong bags. It comes with like a big stretcher. Like a can of oxygen with a thin clear plastic hose with a mask that you could slip over a head. A little like hypodermic needle gun, an assault rifle, a big briefcase that says rescue on it that has more stuff inside, like defibrillator paddles. That, you know, comes with two defibrillator paddles that you could put in his hands and have him like shocking dudes back to life. Yeah, just tons and tons of stuff. And he still has rescue tampoed down the one leg like the original figure had, which is the sort of thing that I could see them not doing and getting away with it. But it's good that they didn't, because I thought that was a really key component of the original figure's design. So, you know, just a bunch of good Joes. I had kind of moved away from Joe recently. I haven't been getting much in the way of Joes in quite a while, because the toy line had kind of moved in directions that I wasn't as into. For the most part, I prefer the ones that harken back to the original designs. Zombie Vipers and Hazard Viper are a huge exception to that, but now I got these guys, I got those Dreadnoughts recently, and I probably have caught up to a point where I'm going to kind of fade back from Joe a bit, and just kind of see where Hasbro tries to take this line. Hopefully they could find a way to save it. I don't know if it needs saving. Maybe they're happy with the way it's going, but I hope Joe doesn't just fade away. I hope they find some way to use it that gets popular again. So, that is all my off topic.
Yeah, I agree with you about the Joe stuff. And the prices are crazy now too. Like it's $10 for just a single 3¾-inch dude. Like that's just nuts to me. I don't know. And I guess they're trying to justify it by adding in a bunch of these crazy giant gun gimmicks and stuff like they have been with the movie line, but I don't know. Like you can go to Walmart and get a deluxe Transformer for $13 and then you can get a G.I. Joe for $10. Like I don't see where that I don't get where it's worth it. Like I think even like $8 was pushing it for me. I would still get a random impulse buy, but I just can't justify $10 for those guys. But I hope that Joe finds its place and gets cool again. But so
yep.
I got hella off topic. Hella. First thing I got were the I found the new basic new animation style Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures. And I've only had a chance to open one because I found them the day because this last weekend I went to Chicago for a few days and I found them the day or like just literally hours before I left. So I went ahead and popped Donatello out of his card and just stuck him in my bag. Left the rest in a plastic bag in my car. And I still haven't had a chance to really open them yet, but they're neat. I think the biggest surprise for me was the fact that they were selling them at Toys R Us. Each one was like $8 at Toys R Us. That in itself was a scratch the head moment. Like, wait a minute, are these the figures I'm looking for? Because
these are much cheaper than what I was expecting to pay. I guess I hadn't really been paying attention, but everybody was raving about how awesome they were, and then seeing that they were so far under $10, I was a little surprised, but they're neat. They're not perfect. They definitely have nothing on the NECA Ninja Turtles from a few years ago, but for what they are and for the price, they're pretty stinking cool. Like I said, I've only opened the Donatello so far, but he's a really neat little figure at that price. He's pretty well articulated. Could use a little more. Doesn't have any ankle articulation. I wish he had at least a little bit there, but otherwise, he's a cool little dude. He comes with some extra weapons on a sprue, which harkens back to the original Turtles figures from the 90s. How they all came just in a single color piece of plastic sprue with their weapons molded in.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Donatello, and I don't remember if this homages any of the older stuff, because I don't have like their weapon sprues memorized or anything. But I mean, he definitely comes with like some shurikens, which I know the older Turtles usually had something along those lines, but all the other weapons on the sprue are variations of Donatello's bow staff, because he obviously has his bow staff, but then he has like a bow staff with a knife blade sticking out the end, and then he has another, it's a bow staff but it's segmented from chains or with chains in three pieces, so but it's all like it's molded to look like his bow staff but with extra stuff on, and it's almost like Donatello just got pissed off, like, look, I'm tired of the dude that's carrying around the stick, so I'm going to make my stick have segmented chains like Michelangelo, except mine's going to have three. I'm going to be better. And I'm going to take my bow staff, and I'm going to have a giant knife blade that sticks out the end, so I'm as cool as Leonardo, aren't I? So, I don't know. I get a kick out of it. It looks like he was, like, fiddling with his bow to, like, kind of channel some of the other turtles' weapons, but... no, they're cool. I think they are very fairly priced for what you get from that, and that means they'll probably cost even less at other stores. I was more interested at least in the beginning of the classic style turtles, but I don't know. I think I might just stick with these. I'm kind of curious about the vehicles too. Like the vehicles are fairly inexpensive. Like there's like a motorcycle for like, I think it was like $10 or less. So I think PL has some reviews up, but I haven't had a chance to look at any of those yet. But I want to check those out because this looks like a very affordable line so far. And it's a shame that because I purposely didn't get some of the bad guys because I've heard they are just unacceptably crap.
Like the Krang like has like no leg articulation, and he's molded to look like he's like mid step, and it looks stupid and can't stand, which is that's a shame. And I've heard from several people that I trust that the foot soldier is absolute garbage. So that's kind of a shame. Like I wouldn't mind having like a foot soldier and especially a Krang, but I'm not gonna spend money on bad toys when you have.
Or is the design of the classic line, is that more like the old cartoon?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I regret not getting the NECA set because that's my Ninja Turtles, that original comic style, the Eastman and Laird style. And I saw these at Toys R Us myself. I was like, there they are. I pass. I'm not a hardcore turtle fan. I love the comic, the original Mirage run of the comic so much, but you know, I'm not hardcore about them. So it was easy to pass. But what kind of bugged me out when I noticed it, and it's nothing that it's like, that's the last straw. What are they doing? They're molesting my teenagehood. They moved all three toes around to the front of the foot.
Yeah, I noticed that. That was weird. And at first, I wasn't sure if it was just me or if maybe the proportions of the feet were a little different, so I was just noticing it more. But, yeah, I remember looking at that and being like, I'm pretty sure they only had two toes. Like, but now they got three. Like, what's up? And
they always had an elongated heel.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, because they had two fingers and a thumb. I just figured that was the deal on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
Having mutated from a quadruped, then maybe that's why the foot was like that. And, you know, maybe it makes more sense to have all three toes facing forward, but it's never been like that before. So when I noticed it, I was like, oh, they're like weird. They're okay. I guess, why not? Who cares?
Yeah, it's not something that I'm so crazy about. Or I'm like, it's ruined forever or anything. You know, but I did.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I did look at the feet. And I was like, what the hell? Like, wait a minute. I don't think it was like that before. So I'm glad you said that because I didn't think about it until just now when you said that. But no, they're cool. They're cool. Like the four turtles are neat, and for the price, they're great. So if you're a Turtles fan, I think you should pick them up. I got Figma Samus Aran from Metroid. Yeah. Why you say Aya?
Because I pondered if I wanted to get it for a really long time and then ended up not. And then seeing pictures and everybody freaking out, I'm like, maybe I should have gotten it. Maybe I should have.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing figure. I'm definitely biased because I am a huge fan of the Metroid series. I have very fond memories of pre-ordering through that was before the days of the internet, boys and girls. When I was a kid playing video games, you had to mail in a postcard with a check. But I that was the only time in my life as a kid that I saved up for something, at least a video game, and pre-ordered it. I pre-ordered that thing. I think I pre-ordered it directly from Nintendo. If I remember correctly, I think I even like saved up extra to get like next day shipping. And I think it cost me close to like $90 at the time. Just so I could get that game like day one. I think they had like a goodie or something that came along with it extra. I don't remember. We're talking years and years, but, no, I'm very fond of this series. And there's only, as far as I know, there was only like one Samus figure ever made. It goes for crazy amounts on eBay. And I think it has like an alternate head. You can take the helmet off and put like a bare human head on there. And it's kind of hollow on the inside. It's very toyish, but the proportions look really cool. And it uses like the Super Metroid style suit, I believe, which that's my favorite version. But this is styled after the Other M version, which is the more recent Wii game, which I liked that game quite a bit. It wasn't perfect, but the gameplay was really, really fond of. So, you know,
Well, but, Noise Maze has been tweeting about getting a Samus and Zero suit.
Yeah, that's made by the same company, Max Factory, but that's it's a non-posable statue.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, exactly. When this was first released, they showed pictures of them side by side, and this was coming out of Japan, I think, at a Wonderfest. And so the first news we got was they're doing Figma Samus and a Zero suit, and everybody thought they were doing a Figma posable Zero suit version, but it turned out the Zero suit version is like a PVC statue, but the Samus in her power suit is the full on super posable Figma, and it's really cool. They knocked it out of the park. The posability is absolutely just terrific. Just has a nice glossy sheen on the paint. I love what they did with the visor. The visor in the figure has like this greenish plastic like inset, but then it's covered in a clear visor over top. So it really just has this beautiful depth to it with the way that the light goes through it. And it's here's a good picture of the effect on the visor. But I love the way that the light goes through the visor. It's just gorgeous. Like you have like an extra tip that you can put on the end. You can replace the gun to make it look like she's firing missiles. She comes with a little morph ball version of herself so that she can she parts forms. You remove one figure and put the other one in its place. She comes with a couple different shooting effects parts, and several different alternate hands for the one arm that has a hand. But no, it's a beautiful figure. I hope they do a second run of this, because Figma or Max Factory, the company that makes Figma, has been doing that lately. They've been giving figures a second run. Because the thing with Figma, and they're very smart about this, all their toys are produced to order. Every Japanese figure or company, retailer, storefront, that puts up pre-orders for Figma, there's like a 2 or 3 month window. And at the end of that, Max Factory takes a tally of all the pre-orders and they make them to order. And then obviously they make a little extra so that stores will have some. But they base their production run based completely on the pre-order of what was taken beforehand. And if a oftentimes when a figure is in high demand, they'll do a second run of it. So hopefully, I've seen several people, including our friend Defuzz, who was lamenting the fact that they weren't able to get their hands on one, and they're sold out everywhere now, for good reason. It is an amazing, amazing action figure. They really did it justice, but I really hope that they do a second run of it, or at least there's enough demand to warrant one so that the people who missed out can get one. But
well, Big Bad Toy Store still has it listed as a pre-order.
Yeah, they probably secured some stock.
Yeah.
How much are they charging?
$64.99.
Ooh, yeah.
That's more, right? What'd you pay?
That's more, yeah. How much did I pay? I don't know.
Yo, they were still selling that statue, that Zero statue, for $125.
No, thank you.
For a statue.
Yeah, Figma Samus.
What are you thinking, Noise Maze?
Figma Samus on AmiAmi says 3,600 yen, which comes out to be about $45. So, it's in stock right now. I wonder if Defuzz saw this.
Oh,
but this doesn't have. I think I've actually. I don't know. I think I paid less because usually they show a percentage. Discount. I don't know.
Well, I think the lesson to be learned here is they're doing Link from Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
And if you missed out on Samus and you love the Nintendo games, don't regret missing Link. Personally, I couldn't care less about Link.
Yeah, I waffled on Link quite a bit. I ended up pre-ordering him just because I figured that if I didn't like him, I could always just sell him at cost, and I didn't want to miss out. I don't know. I'm a little ambivalent on Link. Samus, no. That was the minute that that went up for pre-order, I hit the button and added that to my cart. But
well, I'm not a hardcore Metroid fan, like, at all. Like, I played a few of the games. I enjoyed them when I played them. I still very vividly remember word spreading around school when, as people were finding out Samus was actually a girl, and just bugging people out because you didn't really have female character lead characters in video games. And then the fact that it was secretly female and you had to like do all this special stuff to even find out, and people like, dude, that dude's a chick, and it's like, what? I don't want to play a girl. it was crazy. But like, that suit is so cool looking, and it looks like they did such an amazing job. I kind of regret not having gotten it. I'll live without it. I'm not going to pay extra to get it. Even if I didn't have to pay extra, I'd probably just pass anyway, but it definitely looks pretty awesome.
Yep, but so far is definitely one of my best purchases of the year. It just turned out great, and they definitely did the figure justice. I hope they do other versions too, because she's had several different slight revisions of her suit over the years, and I'd love to see them take a crack at it, a couple different ones, maybe like the Super Metroid version, which I think is the best, and it's like it just looks bulky and way more powerful. And then even the, I'd love to see the fusion suit from Metroid Fusion, which is chronologically still the last game. So that's technically her current form, if you will, because all the games, including Other M, have been prequels of some sort. Like they've kind of gone back into the timeline and told stories that have taken place kind of in between previous games. So The Metroid Fusion, they haven't revisited anything past that yet. So, I'd love to see a Figma Fusion suit, Samus. That would be awesome. Have you ever seen the Fusion suit?
Yeah.
Yeah, looks cool. It's very different from any of her other suits. But so, that's Samus. She's awesome. I got three more figures. I'll go through them briefly, but they are all related to the Persona video game franchise. I got another Figma. I got Figma Chie Satanaka. Satanaka? Yeah. Chie is cool. She's just a little girl who will kick your ass with kung fu, and she comes with goofy glasses. But Chie is cool. She's really tiny. She's a super small Figma, which I don't mind. I guess a lot of people were upset because of how small she was, but I don't mind. But she's a really fun little figure. I wish she had more accessories, but it is what it is.
Well, like with some of the stuff, like when you were talking about those the whatchamacallits last time. What were those figures? Those that everybody
Gutokuru?
But you hate? Yeah, the Gutokuru. when you were talking about the size differences, not everybody is exactly the same height. So I think it's not bad when characters are different heights in some of these figures where it makes sense. Like if she's supposed to be a small girl,
yeah,
then well, she's going to look good on a shelf next to yeah. a tall dude.
Well, I think the problem
or a tall
is,
girl.
Yeah. I think the problem is that because the only other Persona well, they have other Persona figures Figmas coming out, but previously, the only ones they had released, well, also Metis, but Aegis, which is she's kind of like the female girl robot from Persona. And they're kind of portrayed as being similarly in height. Like they're all kind of around the same, but like the difference in size between like Aegis and Chie is like, it's pretty dramatic. Aegis was a little kind of out of proportion tall, I guess. I don't know. But so I think that was where some of the disappointment came in, and is that characters from the same series are kind of out of scale with each other, but, whatever. It's still a cool figure. I like it. Looking at my tabs. I got so many tabs. I got D Arts from Bandai. Konohana Sakuya, which is one of the Personas. This is the third Persona D Arts they've made. Previous being Izanagi and Thanatos. And this is the second one from Persona 4 that they released. It's one of the, it's belongs to Yukiko. It's kind of like her, it's basically her summon. She can summon it in battle and does like magic and whatever, and kind of looks like a dancer, like with flowers, feather things all around. I'm going to go into some of the detail about this by request from Random Factor. He wanted me to make sure I talked about this. This is a very terrific display piece. It's super fiddly, though. All the feather things in the back are joined by interconnecting ball joints that are super tight. Like, they're squeaky, squeaky, super tight. And they don't have a terrific range of motion. So you're going to find yourself as you're posing this thing in all these crazy different poses that the box art portrays her in, is that those things are going to pop off left and right. The arms, even contrary to what the box art would show, because they have photoshopped out the stand works similarly as it does with the Thanatos D art, in that it has two arms and one of them connects directly to the back of the figure. It pegs in. And the other has a bit of a support arm that goes up and connects to the, like, the backmost of the feather ring segment. So all those, her feather things are all supported separately in on the stand. So her arms are not really bearing any of the weight. And I think that was smart. And it works well for the most part. And the ball joints on that stuff is so tight, and the stand supports it so well. Once she's in a position, she's going to stay there. Like, she's not going to flop around or anything like that. The problem, though, is just getting it into the position. It's super fiddly. It's hard to pose that stuff without it popping apart. I found that the best way to do it is to just remove it from the stand completely and get it to where you want. If it pops apart, leave it apart and just get all the pieces to where you want them. And then once it's generally where you want it, pop everything together and click it all back into place, and then attach the stand. The only real major design flaw is that the support arm that goes on the stand that connects to the feather part, when you're posing the feathers around, well, there's going to be times to where it's not going to really work with the limitations of the short or the length of the support arm for the feathers. So I found myself that sometimes I just couldn't get things into certain positions because the stand couldn't move that far, or the support arm was too long. Including some of the pictures on the back of the box, like the one where she's kind of holding her arms straight up and the feathers are up there. She can do that position, but not with her arms like that. Unless I'm just not doing something right, I need to, you know, mess with it a little more. But I think the design of the figure itself isn't perfect, but it suffices. But I think the stand needs a little reworking. That aside, you're not going to probably be moving these things around a bit anyway. You're probably going to put it in a position that you want and stick it on a shelf with the rest of the Persona figure. So once it's there, you're going to be fine. Just be prepared for a little bit of frustration while you're posing it, and just understand the limitations. I'd say remove the stand before you do it and then reconnect it. And if you're looking for a cool display piece that you can move around and change every once in a while, depending on if you are into that, then you're not going to be disappointed. But just go into it knowing that you're not going to have the kind of instant gratification of posing it like you did with the Thanatos figure. So, but that's my thoughts on that. And lastly, the only other figure I got was, where's the link here? Man, I am unprepared. I got a Nendoroid Jack Frost, which is another release from Persona. And if I can find it here for you, Seth, if you even care. But it's Nendoroid is a, it's, I think it's by Good Smile, who does the distribution for Figmas, but I don't think they actually own the company, but I'm not sure. But here it is. But I've talked about This isn't necessarily directly from Persona. It's the whole family of games, Megami Tensei, which I've talked about before. It's kind of like Final Fantasy, where you have a bunch of different games and they all just kind of have similar themes. Like Final Fantasy has like chocobos and stuff. This is kind of like an unofficial mascot for the Megami Tensei series. Like this guy kind of pops up in every form in the game at some point, like whether it's a little homage of a stuffed animal in the background or straight on something you can summon to fight, or you fight it as a boss or something like that, or a regular enemy. Like it pops up in pretty much every game. So the Nendoroid figures they're generally little super deformed dudes. Like they'll take characters from animes and games and stuff and make little super deformed versions. But because his official appearance is already that, they basically just took his regularly proportioned form and just fit him into the line because he already fit the way he was. So, but he's neat. And the Nendoroids are really expensive for what they are. They're just kind of like, here's a little dude and maybe he can move his legs and his arms and his neck, and we'll give him a couple of accessories and charge way too much for it. But I dig it. Like it's cool for what it is. I don't ever buy any of the figures from this line. I think they're doing like a Sonic the Hedgehog or something, which is another one of the ones that they didn't really have to rework that much to fit into the proportion, but he's cool. So I wish they were a little cheaper, but he's sold out on AmiAmi, so I guess that they didn't have to do too much with the price because people bought it anyway, like me. But that's it. That's all I got.
All right.
Are you still there? There you are.
I muted and then forgot and started talking like a small timer. No, my keyboard stopped working now.
No. Oh.
So I muted my mic because I'm pounding on keys and I didn't want to get it. I can't win tonight. It's awful.
That happened to me. Like that happened to me. What were we recording? I don't remember. I was recording a podcast with Evangelist about something and my keyboard just completely stopped. Oh no, I think it was just 207. So whatever.
Well, we got to wrap this up so I could save this audio file before something worse stops working. So,
okay.
You know, maybe we didn't need to apologize at the beginning for doing a truncated show, because we are well over 2 hours. There's some dead air bits that are going to get trimmed, but ain't going to be that much, folks. So, you still got your money's worth. You satisfied? You can follow us on Twitter. We haven't plugged our Twitters in a long time. Actually, you hate plugging your Twitter, but the people could figure it out. I'm at Seth Buzzard. If I'm that simple to figure out, you can figure out what at GogDog would be. And you could leave voicemail. That phone number is 318-775-9830. You'll leave voicemails, and eventually you can hear your voice on this show. Someday.
And next time you'll be hearing from us is TFCon. So no,
next
looking
time,
forward to that.
Next time they'll be hearing from you.
Us, as
not
in
me.
WTF. Us, as in a team. I wish you could be there.
There's no you in team.
I wish. No, but there's a me if you rearrange the letters.
There's a teamwork okay. Has an Ewok.
Okay. Thanks. I never thought about that. Now I know. But okay. So yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
so
man, have fun at TFCon.
I leave early Saturday morning. GM fan's going to pick me up from the airport. Going to hang out with him for a couple days and then head over to Evangelist's place, where I'm going to probably spend the rest of my nights until the actual convention starts. So, looking forward to it. I don't know what we're going to do as far as podcasting goes. Obviously, we'll be podcasting from the show, which doesn't start till Friday. So Thursday is when we'd normally record 210, but I don't know if that's going to change because Aaron is going to be on his way up there. Evangelist will be with me. So I don't know. I guess we'll figure it out when we go. But
well, if things,
either way,
if things go anyway like they did last year, you'll probably be podcasting from the Canadian Slag podcast too.
Yeah. So you'll who knows what'll
probably
happen.
Probably have an opportunity to punch those dudes out of the way and just take over.
Yeah. But even though TFCon doesn't start till Friday, I have a feeling that 210 will probably be the first episode of the convention, but we'll play it by ear. We'll see what happens. But there we go.
All right, have fun, man.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you. I wish you were there. This is actually going to be my first Transformers convention without you. Not to mention you as a roommate. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
I can't say what I'm thinking right now.
I know what you're thinking. Let's leave it at that. All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye. Stopping.